Well, can I say again just how delighted we are to see you here this evening? The weather has turned again. It's always turning, so I've discovered. And the week of good weather that we had was a little bit of an exception. But we'll take it gladly and thank God for it. And we're glad to have you this evening among us. So do remember the meetings as they continue in God's will. Just a few more nights of these special meetings until Friday night. And we'd love to see you back again. If you can make it, we will make every effort to be here. So if you can make the same effort, we would love to meet with you. You know the reason why we call it a meeting, by the way? It's not just us coming together to meet each other. But as we gather together, we have come to have a meeting with God. And that's the joy of a meeting like this. God, through his word, speaking. And the Lord Jesus did say to those that preach the gospel, I'm with you right to the end of the age. What a privilege to have an audience this evening with the Creator and to hear his word. So do remember those meetings. No meeting on Saturday, and the normal meeting then at 5 p.m. on Sunday. Now, when I was a little boy, I was going to say a little nipper, but I would need to remember where I am. So I'm not sure if you use that expression over in New Zealand. But back home, we call a little boy a little nipper. So when I was a little boy, I used to listen carefully and have my Bible open. So if you've been doing what I did, you would know where I'm going to read. Because all I did was I listened to the hymns that the preacher gave out. And then I knew exactly where he was going to preach. So for those that have done that, we're going to read at verse number 11. But for those that haven't done that, it's Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin at verse number 11. And he, that is Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Though these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The story that we have read is one of the greatest stories that has ever been told. It is a classic. And it is even more of a classic when we come to discover who it is that spoke it and what it means to us today. The story was told on the occasion when the religious authorities took exception to the kind of people that the Lord Jesus mixed with and mingled with. Sinners. They wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't go near them. These were people that had grievously sinned. They had broken the commandments of God on so many times. They were traitors to the cause, because many of them worked for the Romans. And they were outrageous sinners in the community. It was people like that that sought the Lord Jesus. They had no one else to go to. And they had discovered that being a traitor to another cause or sinking deep in sin will never satisfy the soul. There are so many reasons why people go away from God and go away from the truth. And one of them is that unending search for happiness and meaning in life, for joy and for true relationship. But these people, though they had betrayed their country, many of them, by working for the Romans, and many of them had sunk deep in sin, trying the different things that the world had to offer, they discovered that only Christ could offer them something that would satisfy their souls and forgive their sins. And they came to him. And the Lord Jesus received them. And the ruling authorities said, this man receives sinners? Look at him. It couldn't be right. He even eats with them. And they could never have said a truer thing, for that's what God does, and that's what the Lord Jesus does. He receives sinners like me, and he will eat with me forever in the glories of heaven. He shall spread eternal delights before me. One of the most wonderful things about going to heaven that I find is this. It's not just that I'm going to be there. I never deserved to be there. It's not just that I'm going to be higher than the first lobby. I could imagine God letting me into heaven but saying, now just you stay here for the rest of eternity. Just in here will do you fine. No, I'm not going to be there either. I'm going to be right where God is. I'm going to be where Christ is, at the very center of glory. But something more than that. That when I get there, Christ is going to step off his throne. And he's going to come and serve me. That blows my mind. To think that the one who sits upon the throne of heaven is going to welcome me and make heaven home for me. This is the one that receives sinners and eats with them. And the Lord Jesus then tells these three stories. He tells us the wonderful message of the gospel and the need of our hearts for him. He tells of a shepherd who looked for a sheep that was lost. He tells of a woman who looked for a coin that was lost. He tells of a father who looked for a son that was lost. And he writes across the whole chapter this one word, lost. You are lost. I was lost and in my sins, and we are in danger. That's what the word means to us. We are in danger of being lost forever. Sin cuts us off from God. Sin takes us away from God. We are lost. But if we're lost, if we're like lost sheep, who just naturally stray. There is a loving shepherd who has come into this world and died upon a cross, shed his life's blood as the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus has come to where we are to rescue us, to redeem us, to lift us from our sin, and by the power of his resurrected life, to give to us eternal life, should we turn to him and trust him. And not only is there a shepherd who looks for the sheep, there's a woman who looks for the coin that tells us of the work of the Holy Spirit in this world. You know the times whenever you've done wrong, you try to shut out the thought from your mind, but you can't. It's an annoying thing in your mind. You just would love to shut off the accusation. I shouldn't have done it. I've broken another of God's commandments. And yes, you might be afraid that loved ones would find out about it. But really, deep down in your heart, you know that God knows all about it. And the voice of conscience begins to work. Why is that? Because it's the work of the Spirit of God to disturb. This woman began to brush. She was disturbing the house, and she was shining the light to find the coin. And as the Word of God, the light of God, shines upon the heart, the Spirit of God begins to disturb. You see, in your sins, a gospel meeting is not a comfortable place. And it shouldn't be a comfortable place. Because we're faced with the fact in the gospel that we are sinners and we need to be saved. And the gospel exposes our sins. The light of the Word of God, like the woman who's brushing and disturbing and seeking for the coin. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this meeting. He wants you to repent, to turn from your sin and turn to God. But that's not all. Not only is the gospel like the Lord Jesus, the shepherd coming into the world to save the sheep. Not only is it like the woman, the Holy Spirit coming into our world to seek for the lost. But it is also like a father who is willing to embrace those that have gone away. And so let us come to think of this lovely story. For this boy deliberately went away. The first point I want to preach to you is this. Where rebellion takes you. Where rebellion takes you. The answer. The far country. That's where it took him. How often we look at this young man, his privileged background, the Word of God that he was taught from his earliest, and how at the earliest point of his life that he could, he kicked against it all. He said, in effect, I would rather you dead. Give me all the selfishness of the human nature. Give me, give me. We all feel as if God owes us everything. Give me. And as soon as he got the money, he made his plans. And a few days later, he was gone. He didn't want the restrictions of the Father's house anymore. He didn't want to be around those that loved the gospel and loved the God of the Bible. He just wanted away. He wanted to go to where the others were that were enjoying themselves, so he thought. I don't think he ever thought when he left home that he would eventually stoop to where he did stoop. How far sin would actually take him. Many have gone that path. Many have discovered that sin is more powerful than they ever imagined. These words are powerful. As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in his mercy has let me return to share with his children this lesson I've learned with pleasure and promises sin to control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a sinner, a savior, could love me again because sin will take you further than you want to go. Slowly, but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. There's no such thing as safe sin. Sin is costly. The ultimate price tag on sin is this: hell and the lake of fire. Sin will cut us off from God. That's where it took this young man. Far away. Spending his money on alcohol and illicit relationships. He would have broken his father's heart as he dragged the name of his father through the mud of that wicked city. But that wasn't all. Because he's not gone down yet. And at last we see him, and he's filthy, and he's stinking, and he's beside the pigs, and he's scraping together a few things to try and feed himself, and he's nothing. How far could a young man get? This young man who one day left home, he's in the dust and in the dirt, and where no Jewish boy should ever be, feeding pigs. Oh, could I say with love in my heart, for there is love in my heart for you, be careful. For sin is more powerful than you can ever imagine. Take care that you are not totally ruined before you come to your senses. In the wonders of God's grace, there have been many, and they have been rescued. But not before their body has been totally wrecked. There was a man who came to gospel meetings back in Ireland. I'll never forget him. George came in. Everybody was shocked to see him. He was the kind of man who negotiated with his fists. And he did it brave and often, as we would say back home. I'll explain that. He did it fairly often. He would negotiate with his fists. He was a tough man. He was a hard man. There was no one could live with him. So he lived alone. And this man who used to deliver mineral to him, soda, he went and he usually left it on the doorstep because he didn't really want any bother. But this day he just turned and he thought, I need to ask George to these meetings. Knocked on the door. George came to the door. Would you come to the meetings? Yeah, I'll be there. Could hardly believe it. George came to those meetings. And as he sat there, I could see him. Just the pain of a broken life written over his face. He could hardly get up to sit down because his body was wracked by sin. He was still a young man in his 50s. I wouldn't count that old. But he looked as if he was a really old man. Why? Because sin had ruined him. He asked to speak to us one night. He says, you know, I went home last night. I got down on my knees before my bed. And I cried out to God as I confessed my sin. I cried out to God for salvation. You know, to go to that man's house, very little in it, hardly able to move. He can't really go anywhere because his body is totally wrecked. But to look at his Bible now, thumb marks everywhere, pieces of paper shoved into it, and a smile on his face that would warm your heart. A man, yes, his body is ruined. He's going to get another one day. But he went very low before he discovered what sin does to you. Thank God, even there was mercy for him. Out of love to your soul before sin wrecks your body, introduces some disease into your body that will tear it apart. As a result of sinful living, I say to you, in God's name, come to yourself. because sin will destroy you. Oh, this young man, he never thought he would go as far as he did. But that's where rebellion takes you. Sin takes control. But where does repentance bring you? I love this story. There he is, he's down and he's out, and he thinks to himself, if I could but only, he begins to dream of home, and he thinks of those houses that he used to walk past. He mocked them, he didn't think much of them, they were only the workers. Now look at them. He could call them names, he could do whatever. Oh, but he says now, if I could just get back home and look in through the workers' houses. You know, they have all that they need. My Father provides for them. And they have more than they ever care for. He says, here I am and I'm perishing. I'm perishing. Oh, that that would get into your heart. I'm perishing. And that's why Christ came. And that's why Christ died, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God doesn't want you to go down to hell. He doesn't want you to perish. He says, I'm perishing. I'm going to get up. I'm going home. I don't care what they think of me. I don't care what my Father does with me, but I'm going home. Where does repentance bring you? It brings you right to the Father's table. This young man, at last, had a robe on him, he had a ring on him, he had shoes on his feet, he was seated at a table. How did all that take place? From riches to rags, and from rags to riches. How did it happen? Did he bring a little bit of money? He had nothing to bring. Did he try and clean himself up? He could do nothing to help himself. He just came as he was. It's a modern song, but it's very, very powerful. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. There's hope for the hopeless. And all who have strayed, come sit at the table, come taste of the grace. There's rest for the weary. Rest that endured. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame, all who are broken. Lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Just come as you are. And when he came, just as he was, the Father ran and threw his arms around him and welcomed him home. If you ever turn back to God, in whatever circumstance you are, he will receive you this way. So long as you don't come too late. You say, when's too late? Well, tomorrow might be too late. Twelve o'clock tonight might be too late. But right now, come as you are. I've told you about George. He was a prodigal. I've told you about this young man, and he was a prodigal. I could tell you of more. I could tell you of William. He was a prodigal. Young man of 28, broad and strong, with a vicious temper. And his father, with tears rolling down his face, he says, I don't even know if he'll come to hear the gospel. I'll never, ever forget the night that that young man, he phoned me to say that God had humbled him. And he had cried out to God for salvation. And that young man's life was utterly turned around. Only the power of God could do it. Only the grace of God would do it. To give a son for people like that. Another prodigal boy. Let me tell you the story of the prodigal girl. Mary left home. She didn't much value her upbringing. She headed for the bright lights of Glasgow town in Scotland. But her life hit the skids. And eventually to try to put bread on the table, she sold her body on the streets of Glasgow City. So far gone. One night, as she was walking the streets, the last bus rounded the corner, and there across the top of the bus was the name of the village where she'd grown up. She didn't really know what made her do it, but she stepped aboard, paid the fare. "I just want to see the village one more time." She couldn't be seen in the light in the daytime. Everybody knew what she was doing. Everyone knew the kind of life she was living. She had gone far. But when she got there, down the familiar old street she went, last door on the left. She went round the back. The gate was always left open. And into the back garden where she'd played as a little girl. "If I could only but look in one last time," she thought. "But surely the door will be locked." And as Mary put her hand upon the handle, the door fell open. And from upstairs, the familiar note of her mother's voice, "Mary, is that you?" She said, "Mother, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to." "No," she said, "come in. The door has been open from the day you left home." Can I say that to you? In God's name, the door has been left open for you to come back from the very day you left home. Oh, God would receive you. Christ would forgive you. Come home before it's too late.